Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Breakthrough Directions. Each week, Breakthrough Directions explores the two faces of your business, outward through marketing and client delivery, and inward, your vision, profit model, systems, team, and you, so you can grow a business you love and live the life of your dreams. Welcome to the show.
Well, welcome everyone to another episode of Breakthrough Directions here on Blog Talk Radio. I am your host, Gina Gaudio-Graves, the Dean and Founder of Directions University at directionsuniversity.com, calling in live this week from Bonita Springs, Florida, as I do each week on Tuesdays at noon Eastern. We have got another great show lined up for you guys today. We have, I don't know if we have Linda Feinholz here today. I actually don't think she is here. But we have got a great guest whose name is Tiffany Manley. And Tiffany, I'm trying to figure out which one is you. Do I have you unmuted properly?
Can you hear me?
I can.
Great.
Nice to meet you. Thank you so much for joining us here today.
Thanks for having me. I'm excited. A little nervous, I'm not going to lie, but I'm excited.
Oh, don't be nervous. I'm just looking for Linda's notes that are going to tell me a little bit more about who you are and what you do in your business. But for some reason, I cannot put my fingers on them. So what I can tell you guys about Tiffany is this. She is an out-of-the-box thinker, an effective organizer, system creator, and just a generally awesome last to help build and grow your boutique business. Having started several successful boutique businesses, including a custom cake venture and an audience gathering blog, Tiffany has mastered completing initial venture research, launching boutique businesses, creating efficient systems, and more. And now she helps others do just that for their own business. So Tiffany, welcome to the show.
Thanks again. Thanks for having me.
So how the heck did you get started with building boutique businesses?
You know, it's funny because I, you know, from an early age, I remember thinking, I don't want to do what other people want me to do. My poor mother. I, you know, always just wanted to kind of do my own thing. And so ever since I can remember, I've always been thinking of, you know, how can I have my own business? What can I do for myself? And so I went through a period of several years where I was kind of trying different things. I did taxes. I had the cake business, which was just a blast, but it was a lot of hard work. And then I kind of settled where I'm at right now with helping other female boutique business owners. But it's just kind of something I've always enjoyed doing. I've liked doing my own thing, and I've liked the ability to kind of use what I'm passionate about and help others with it.
That is the best way to build a business, isn't it?
It is. It really is.
And I imagine that's some of the advice that you give to your clients, to really build businesses around your passion and the things that you love.
It really is, because I've noticed that, you know, you can't have a sustainable business if you don't love what you're doing. And if you don't love what you're doing, it just becomes a job at that point. You might as well go work for someone else then, you know.
Absolutely. And I've noticed both on your website and in some of the materials that Linda sent me that you have wonderful things like business labs. You sound like a systemizer and a strategic thinker all the way. Tell me about your business labs.
Yeah, so as I helped clients of mine systematize their business, and I'm a huge geek, and so I love using software and technology to get things done in your business, because all of us, you know, we may enjoy writing or we may enjoy going out and talking to people, but there are things in our business that have to get done, again, for our businesses to be sustainable, for them to be profitable, for us to be able to move forward and make the changes we want to see in the world. And so I thought, well, I only have so many hours in a day that I can work with people. So I thought, what's the best way to reach more people with this information? And that's when I designed the labs. And I thought, you know, I was over the whole, this is a digital course, this is a digital course. And I thought, I really want people to feel like they are getting in there and getting their feet wet and really learning something and implementing it while they're in the lab doing it. And so that's how the idea came along. And we recently released the first one, which focuses on project management to kind of help people get things in order. And by using Asana, which is free, you know, you can't beat free in your business and something that's so robust. So that's kind of how they got started.
Wow. So tell me a little more detail about business labs. What do they deal with?
The first one, like I said, is it focuses on the program Asana, but really anyone can use it with any project management software that they use. And it takes them from, I think a lot of business owners, and I was guilty of this myself as well, we kind of have this idea and we're so excited about something and we want to hop right in and get clients and get paid. There's nothing wrong with all of that, but then we kind of have to reverse engineer everything because it's like, okay, well, now I need to figure out how I'm going to do this long term, and I need to figure out how I'm going to hire a team at some point. And so I wanted to take people through the process of, you know, you can have a tool, but if you don't have that foundation in place, having that tool does nothing for you because it's just a Band-Aid fix. And so that's what that first one is designed to do, is take you through what projects do I need to manage. You know, do I need to have a place to store all of the copy for my marketing? Do I need a place for weekly team meeting agendas? And then going through and actually setting that up in the project management software and then actually using it, because that's the other piece of it. I can take you through and help you figure out your foundations and what you need to monitor and track and systematize. But then if you don't use it, it is no good either. And so that's what that first one focused on. And then we've got a second one coming down the line for Infusionsoft specifically. A lot of my clients use it, and I've sat through about 5 Kickstart sessions with clients, and they're great, you know. But I always notice that afterwards they're like, okay, I still don't know what to do, so you need to figure it out. And it's really not that scary. So I really wanted to take people through and help them figure out how to actually use it, because it's such a huge piece of software, and it's scary, and it really shouldn't be.
That's really true, isn't it? So can you tell me some examples of businesses that you've helped people to start?
Yes, so I have a lot of clients right now that are business coaches, and so that is something that we've kind of really dealt with, is helping women in their business coaching area, and we've some of them kind of have had it in place when I came on, then others have really just started, and I kind of help them build from the ground up. I've worked with one person who, it's a really interesting job. She is a counselor for teens and families, and so that was something that was actually a nice departure from business coaching. You know, I think business coaching is a great thing, and it's a necessary thing for lots of people, but it's also neat to kind of see other things like, you know, a therapist for teens and families, or even the cake businesses that I've done and have helped others do. It's, I always had a love for stuff that was kind of different.
That is interesting. That's what I love about my business as well. It's actually not really the norm for me to work with people who help businesses. I'd say probably less than 5 to 10% of our clients work with other businesses. They are in such varied kinds of businesses, all of them educational, all of them coaches in some way, shape, or form, but in very specific areas. I have one girl who helps people have coastal lifestyles. She talks about everything from cooking to arranging your home with feng shui if you live on the coast, to gardening when you live on the coast, you name it, coastal living is her thing. I have another one that helps people who are in college who want to go to medical school to do better at getting into medical school, and just about everything in between. That diversity makes your business really exciting, doesn't it?
It really does, and it's just, it's so interesting to learn more about other people and something that we may not have a passion for, and there's nothing wrong with that, but then seeing other people do something that's so different, it's just fascinating to me.
And yet, you're really good at technology. I hate technology. How do you help these very creative types who have very varied businesses use technology in a way that makes it manageable for you and them both?
That is such an, I'm glad you asked that question and asked it in that way, because it really is a balance. I love technology. I don't generally think of myself as a creative person, although, you know, people constantly tell me I am, but I have to figure out how to help my clients see what they need to be using so that we can get done what they want to get done. And also it's important for me to make sure they know how to use those pieces of software, because, you know, I love my clients and I have no intentions of not working with them in the future, but we never know what happens. And so I've seen so many people have come to me and they've said, we had this team member, she up and left, she knew how to do everything and we don't know how to do it anymore. And so that's something, too, that I have really tried to do with my clients is, you know, first I kind of make recommendations of what they need to be using. And, you know, I keep in mind their budget, and we kind of get that set. And then I train them. I've noticed I have to train them in small, small chunks. And so we'll say, okay, this is a necessary thing you need to know how to do. And so we'll go through, and a lot of times I'll do videos or I'll type out instructions for them, because then they can kind of take it at their own pace instead of being on the phone with me feeling like I can't get this, this is so frustrating. And documenting it has really been what is helpful, because then they have it to refer back to as well, and they don't feel like they have to take on this huge project of learning how to use this stuff.
Yes, 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 that makes a lot of sense. So are there particular types of software that you help your clients use?
The one thing I always try and get people to move toward is some sort of all-in-one email marketing system, whether that's Infusionsoft or Entreport or anything like that. And I know that's a big, scary thing. I actually didn't start using it in my business until this year. So that's kind of like the end goal for a lot of what we do, because we can make everything so much more robust and personalized to the client. But I also realize that sometimes people, they're not there yet. And so I really like to work with the client to kind of make that bridge for them from I don't have anything to Infusionsoft or Entreport. And so a lot of times we'll make use of Asana because it's free, again, and it's a great collaborative tool. And then Google Drive is just another thing that those two, Asana and Google Drive, and then their newsletter marketing software, whether that's AWeber or Mad Mimi or something like that, I found that those are kind of the three key pieces that we have to have to get anything done.
Makes sense. Yeah, they really are important, aren't they?
They really are. They really are.
Now, I actually don't use Infusionsoft because I have a custom platform that I had created that allows me to use what's called PayPal's Adaptive Pay API.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really interesting, but man, the learning curve on figuring it out. If you have a client who has a piece of software that isn't mainstream like Infusionsoft but is essential to their business, can you help them with that as well?
I usually can, and I get this question sometimes because people will say, well, I use this. Have you ever used it? And I'm always honest with people. You know, I don't want to enter into a relationship with anybody on false pretenses that I can do something. But I've been gifted with the ability to I love to learn, and so I'm constantly learning in my own business, which is a benefit to my clients. But also, I can generally go into software and figure it out, and because I've used so many other pieces of software and so much other technology, a lot of times I can use that knowledge and transfer it over into another system And again, since I have that curiosity, I just, like when you mentioned your system, I immediately got excited, you know. I'll probably never see it, but I got excited. So a lot of times I can just get in there and tinker around and find my way around.
Wow, that's fantastic. And I see on your website at thevaboutique.com, that's www.thevaboutique.com, that you have a lab on business management that mentions a software product called Asana. What is Asana, and how does that work for your client? What do they use it for?
Yes, so Asana at its core base level is a collaborative tool. The creators made it to help teams interact in a better way than through email. I don't know how many times it's happened to me, and I know it happens to all of us most of the time, where we're kind of talking about one thing in email, and then in that same email string, something else comes up, and next thing you know, there are five different conversations going in the same email string, and you've lost something at that point. And so that is why the creators made the software, so that those discussions could take place in one place so that people could be more efficient. And so people use it in many different ways, but the primary way people use Asana is as a project management tool, because you can go in and really, it's extremely heavy duty. With my clients, we manage their product launches in there. We manage, one client does a quarterly digital magazine for female entrepreneurs. We manage the whole publication process in there. And then day-to-day tasks as well, we manage that. In there, we keep copy sitting in there. It's just an amazing piece of software. And again, like I said, it's free. And so that business lab was designed to help people figure out how to use, how to think of their project management software in a more well-rounded way. It's not necessarily just to check boxes when a task has been finished. You can really use it to manage your entire business and move your business forward, because we all know your business is not just about checking a box and getting a task done. There's so much more involved in moving it forward to where you want it to be.
Gotcha. It's a very big question for me right now, simply because we are in the process of trying to figure out what to do with managing our projects. Our team has grown considerably recently. We went from just having two of us to having eight of us over about a six-month period. And that by itself can really make things a little more complex to manage. And I'll tell you, project management is just not my strength. I am far from the most organized person on the planet, for sure. But trying to assess all the software that's out there and all the different ways of managing things, that in and of itself is really hard and really confusing. So to have someone like you that could help make that easier, oh my gosh, we need to talk.
It really can be daunting, because we all know what we think we want. But as one of my clients always says, we don't know what we don't know. So then we start looking at all of this various, you know, these various tools to manage projects. And it, you know, even for someone like me, it just becomes, okay, I don't even know which one to pick at this point, because they all offer this, they all offer this, but this one offers that. I don't know if I need this. And so what I always tell people, if they don't have someone that they can go to help them weed through that and figure it out, pick, you know, your top three. And then most of them have free trials, and just start using one. Just give it a few days to a week, and it will become clear pretty quickly if it's something that you just feel natively comfortable in or if it still feels like it's way too much work, you know?
Yes, it really can be. And then there's the whole idea of some of the tools we've tried in the past actually make more work for my team, not less work for my team. And either it takes us twice as long to get stuff done, or things fall through the cracks because the system isn't really helping us. It's making it harder, and we just can't do it. I would imagine that in working with your clients, this is an issue you've got to help them overcome.
Yes, it is, because, again, if you have that system in place and it's either too much work or you haven't, or, you know, if you have the software in place and it's either too much work to use it, or you haven't done the work to get kind of the main systems in your business worked out, it becomes difficult to track anything and to measure anything. And so that is what I help my clients do, as well as the idea behind that business management lab was to figure out, okay, well, what is it I need to be focusing on? And so I try to leave it wide open. So if they, you know, some people have very distinct ideas of what they want to do. I have some clients that are like that. I don't really have to do too much strategy with them because they know exactly what it is they want to do, and so we just plug it in and we go. But then there are other people that, you know, they're terrified of screwing something up and they just don't know. And so I kind of take people through the process of actually going back to their childhood. I'm a fan of getting colored markers and writing on my glass door. But
what a
great idea. Yeah, because, you know, you can wipe it off with Windex. You just wipe it right on off. But I've got a door that goes out the back of the house, and it's just a big glass door. And so I take colored markers to it, and I find that even for me, who loves the computer, when I get off of the computer and just start coloring and marking stuff down and getting those ideas out, it becomes very clear to me what it is I need to be focusing on to manage in the business.
Wow, that's great. So imagine you're working with me. What's my first step to help me figure out project management to make my team more efficient?
The first step would be, you know, I know you mentioned that you've had this team growth, which is just amazing. That's crazy growth in such a short period of time.
It really is.
And so I think in situations like that, the first thing, if you're still trying to figure out what to use, again, is to kind of test out three project management pieces of software and narrow down the one that you think will work best for your company. But once you've kind of gotten that step out of the way, is to evaluate what you need most at the time. And it sounds like it may be something like team management or, you know, the weekly meetings that the team has. And so when I work with clients that kind of have that type of thing going on, as you know, what can kill your business is if the team isn't on the same page and somebody thinks somebody else is doing this and nobody touched base with this person on that. So set up a really solid structure for how the team interacts. And by that I mean, this is something we deal with in the lab, write down best practices for using that piece of software, because while it may seem kind of unrelated, once everybody knows how they're supposed to interact with each other and get tasks done within the piece of software, then everybody's on the same page from that point forward, and then you can start tackling the other stuff. But if I don't know that I'm supposed to label a certain task in this manner so that everyone knows, you know, when the due date would be or what project it's assigned to, I'm just going to throw something in there, and then Sally over there is not going to have any idea what's going on, and then you're spending time weeding through this mess. Whereas if everyone has that documentation of this is how we label things, this is, you know, how we set up the projects, this is how we assign things to other people, this is how we delegate, you know, when everybody has that, that alleviates a huge amount of stress with the team.
That's awesome. Yeah, really good suggestion. So my other issue is we started with one project management system. It's called Backpack. It's put out by the same folks that put out Basecamp, 37 Signals. And it worked one way. It made us chunk our projects down into itty-bitty little finite chunks, like each very specific thing was a chunk or a project, in this case called a page. Now we know that it's not working as well as we would like. It makes it too hard. We want to change to something else. And it seems like nothing else really makes you chunk it down to such tiny proportions. So moving from one way of doing it to doing it a different way seems cumbersome, and just coming up with how to language that for the team seems impossible. I imagine that the clearer you are in your instruction, the better the outcome will be, but I'm not good at the instruction part in the first place. What advice would you have?
I think for situations like that, what I have found to be helpful is to the extent that you can, obviously, turn it over to the team and then have everyone say, okay, you know, you've all used this piece of software. This is how it functioned for us. We need to switch. We need to figure this out. What are the important takeaways from this experience, and what are the things that you think we need to keep in mind moving forward with the new system? You know, have everybody write that down, then you've got all of that, and then you can kind of see where everybody is at. Because if you, you know, if everyone knows, okay, this is how we should label something, this was the problem, and this is the way we think we should fix it, and everyone has the same idea, you don't even really need to touch on it at that point. You just need to say, okay, I like this idea, document it, and then that's good to go. So once you find out where your people are with everything, then you know what you need to deal with, what you need to touch on with everyone. And you can take that information based on your research for what you'd like to use going forward and how you want the business to function and how you want the team to function. You can start figuring out. I'm big on figuring out in your own mind how something works, again, because I don't want my clients to have me as a crutch and then something happens to me and they can't do anything in their business at that point. So it's really key for me, yes, to have them know how they want something to be done, because then when they understand that process, then it's easier for them to tell someone else. And then I always tell them also to pick the way that's easiest for you. If it's easiest for you to hop on the phone with everyone to kind of go through that instruction, do it like that. If it's easier for you to sit by yourself and do a video just showing everything, do it like that. Bullet point a list, whatever way works for you, because when it works for you, you'll be able to easily tell them at that point. But if it's not working for you and if it's not clear in your head, you can't help anybody else do it.
Absolutely. Great advice. So where do you find your clients now?
I laugh at this question because I'm so honored. I have had the best problem a business owner can have, which is for getting one-on-one clients I work with, I've never had to market the business.
Wow, that's awesome. Congratulations, Tiffany. That tells me a lot about the business you're in.
Every client that I have ever worked with, every client I have now, has been a referral from another client. I have colleagues of my clients that, you know, I will have interaction with while doing things for my clients. They will come to me asking, can you take on any more work? Can I work with you? Can you recommend somebody? So I am incredibly grateful to my clients for that reason. And a funny little story, the very first client I had, it was a small project on Etsy. I helped her set up her Etsy store. And from that one client, the following three clients I got were all, I could trace them back to that one client.
Oh, my goodness. So for all of our listeners, you really want to pay attention to this part of the conversation, because if you can really get into the head of your prospect so much that how you language what you offer to them as a solution to their problem gets them to bring everybody else they know into your business, my goodness, do you have an awful lot less you have to do in your business.
Exactly. It's been, it's just been wonderful. It's been a great, great problem to have. The downside to that, obviously, again, as I mentioned before, is, you know, I only have so much time in the day to work with
right.
people. And so that's when this other part of the business kind of kicked in with the labs and allows me to help more people at one time. So for that part, you know, again, just kind of talking to people. And really, I find, and we hear this all the time, but I think sometimes we just kind of don't think about it, but when you truly, truly love what you do and are excited about it, and when you truly care about helping other people with it, then it just becomes so much easier to market your business, because I feel like, you know, I get excited talking about this kind of stuff. And so even if you never sign up for a lab with me, I will talk to you about this until I'm blue in the face to help you in any way I can, because it's just, it's something I love. So I think people really enjoy that authenticity in people as well.
I do as well. It's what I call serving while strategically monetizing. Serving,
yep,
just for the sake of serving without the strategic monetization, well, then you might as well go become a social worker. But
exactly,
the combination of the two, serving to the best of your ability while strategically monetizing at the same time, it, to me, it's so freeing. You don't ever have to go sell anybody anything, because in that serving, you're doing such a great job of making a difference for your clients that they really do bring everybody else they know right to your doorstep. It's magical.
It really is.
So
it really is.
Who is the ideal customer for your labs? Who really gets the most out of them?
I actually have kind of two ideal customers for the labs, and I'll talk about them in general terms, but obviously we all know we need to get very specific with our ideal customer. But really, the labs were designed for two types of people. They were designed for business owners who either have a very small team or don't have a team in place quite yet, so they're kind of at the point where they're growing and things are getting a little crazy, and so they realize that they need to get some systems and some structure in place now before moving forward. And they're also for other virtual assistants or business managers or people like that that work with several clients, because then managing that process is kind of a whole nother ball of wax where you've got to figure out how to manage your business while managing their businesses as well. So it's designed for kind of people in those two boats.
Wow, that's really, really helpful. And generic, but still pretty specific.
Well, exactly.
People can find the labs on thevaboutique.com. Just click on labs, correct?
Correct.
Awesome. So what other advice do you have for our listeners? The vast majority of our listeners are women business owners who are much like the type of people you just described in that first category of who the labs are for. Many of them are coaches and mentors. Some of them are also authors, oftentimes best-selling authors. They really are in very unique niches. They're not typically in coaching other business owners, but it can run the gamut. And most of the listeners of this show are really either still solopreneurs that are still trying to figure out how to have a team. They want a team. They just aren't quite there yet. Or they have a small team, usually some sort of a VA. What advice do you have for them if they're at that place where things are just getting hectic and they're trying to figure it all out?
Yeah, so I've got some specific advice for both groups of people. If someone doesn't have a team in place yet, and I fully understand that we have to get to a certain point where we can bring a team member on. I know some VAs will tell you you need one right away, but it's just not feasible for most of us when we're starting in our businesses. But when you start to get to the point where things are hectic, getting something in place, getting a system in place where you can kind of get that stuff out of your brain into something like Asana or some other project management software, where it's organized, you know, not just a list. We can make a list of stuff till we're just, we have no more pen and paper, but it's not organized, so it doesn't do us any justice to have it like that. But getting those ideas, getting all those thoughts out of your head into something where you can organize them can kind of help with the stress a little bit. At least that's what I've found. And then also kind of setting up how you want things to run so that when you do get that first team member, you don't have to spend so much time onboarding them and, okay, this is how I do it, but I've never written it out, so I'm going to have to just kind of walk you through it. That takes a lot of time, that if you just kind of documented things as you went along, you wouldn't have to spend so much time doing that type of stuff with them. And then I think also the other key piece of information for someone in that scenario is to recognize when it is time to bring on a team member. I brought on a team this year. I've been, you know, added two teams. I've been the first team member for my clients. And I think all of us realize when we're technically making enough money to bring someone on, but we're still scared because we've never brought someone on, but we also just cannot manage it all anymore in our own businesses. And so recognizing that just because you have the kind of that feeling in the pit of your stomach, like, I don't know if I want to do this, but you know logically that your business can sustain paying someone and that you just have to have someone else helping you, making that jump at that point, because it's the best decision you can make, I think, is the best advice for someone in that situation I can give. And then for those who have a small team or maybe they've just brought a team member on, really, I've noticed this with a lot of VAs and a lot of other people, trying to develop a relationship with that person so that they feel like they are part of your business. Even if it's someone that's just doing admin tasks for you, they are to some extent the face of your business. And so really getting to know them and know how they work best and letting them in on, you know, this is my vision for the business, this is our marketing plan for the year. Even if they don't necessarily do any of that stuff, it really goes a long way to help them feel like they're appreciated and they are much more invested in your business at that point. And so starting that relationship out on that foot really can carry the business so much farther than if you have someone that's just, you know, checking off the hours at that point.
I couldn't agree more. That is really, really important. Get them to take ownership of it right from the start. One of the other things I would add to that advice, and this is what I teach my students to do, long term, you absolutely, positively want a team in place. But I started my business with a real shoestring budget because I was very sick when I started my business. Back then, I started it because I needed $40,000 a month to pay for my medication. Without it, I would die in under 90 days. So I had a big why for starting my business in the first place. And because I was so sick, I really couldn't always ensure that I'd be there to do all the stuff that needed to be done in it, because you never knew whether I'd be back in the hospital having another surgery that week or not. But I also knew that paying somebody else to help me would mean potentially not having the money to pay for my medication. So it was a really tricky situation. And I learned early on that if I was going to pay someone to help me in my business, I had to do it in a way that quickly turned it from an expense to a profit center. And it really started me down the path of designing what I was hiring people to do a little bit differently, so much so that today it's become a bit of a system for me. So when someone new comes onto the team, even if the stuff that they're going to do long term is more administrative, that first month, they have to be doing those things that pay for themselves. So even if it's an admin person, I might have them doing things that are going to generate more business, make more sales, so that by the end of that first month, I have enough money to pay that person for the second month. And my goal for the second month is to get them to make me twice what I need to pay them that month, because now I've got the money to hire a second person, and it's already in the bank. And if I simply do that for a few months, I can grow a nice little team and ensure that I've got the money to pay for it every single month. because I designed their role on the team around making that a reality. Does that make sense?
It does. I like that.
Well, feel free to borrow it. It served me well since 1997. And really, without that piece in my business, I don't know that I ever would have been able to make that $40,000 a month to keep paying for my medication. I just was way too sick to do all the work myself. And as you know it, sometimes if you're the only one in your business and you have to deliver what you're selling and you've got to support it and you've got to market it, there's only so many hours in a day. And when you're as sick as I was, I had more than 50 operations over a 10-year period. You know, you can't rely on yourself at that point to do all of it because it just can't happen that way.
Exactly.
So do you use joint ventures to find clients, or are you so busy you don't even need to worry about it?
You know, that is something that we've just recently kind of started looking into. I'm very, very familiar with joint ventures. Most of my clients, if not all of my clients, utilize that as a heavy part of kind of finding new clients for themselves. And so that's something that I think is on the horizon for us, because something that I've kind of counseled my clients on and I've noticed is that they were kind of staying within the same little bubble. And once you've tapped that bubble, you know, you don't want to keep hitting these people over the head with the same thing, you know.
Right.
And so yeah, that is something that we're looking into, is kind of expanding the reach and getting this message out to other people that may not know about it but are sitting there thinking, okay, what, I need something now. And so that's something we'd like to do.
And, you know, so often in the internet marketing world especially, people think about joint ventures as very one-dimensional, very flat kinds of things. I mail for your stuff, you then mail for my stuff. Those are the kinds of JVs that start to feel like you're hitting people over the head to get them to do what you're asking them to do, right?
Mm-hmm,
there are
exactly.
So many other kinds of joint ventures that are more what I call strategic alliances that don't involve me mailing for you or you mailing for me. My favorite way of using joint ventures is what's called integration marketing. It's a term that was coined by Mark Joyner many, many years ago. He actually has a book out called Integration Marketing. Phenomenal concept. Basically, the idea behind integration marketing is tapping into other people's unused assets as a way of promoting your business. A really common way of using integration marketing is to think about those businesses that already have your ideal customers. They are already buying another business's product, but it's not something that would directly compete with yours. So Infusionsoft's a really good example here. Anyone buying Infusionsoft would be an ideal customer for you, I would think, wouldn't you? Right?
Exactly. They would.
So,
I have, you know, all those skills with it, so yeah.
If you could get Infusionsoft to include something from your business, the VA boutique, on their thank you page, as a way of serving their customers, hey, if you want to get up to speed using Infusionsoft, you might want to get this lab at thevaboutique.com. Here's a coupon to get it 25% off because you're our valued customer. Now they don't ever have to send a mailing out to promote your labs. All they've got to do is plug your stuff into this asset that they aren't using to make money right now, and send all of their customers over to you pretty easily. And I would think anybody buying your lab, if they don't already have Infusionsoft, they're going to need it. So you can do the same thing on your thank you page. And now the two of you are constantly funneling customers back and forth without destroying the integrity of your list. That's integration marketing.
Exactly, and I love that concept, because a lot of times I see people just using the, you know, I'll mail for you if you mail for me, and it becomes kind of stale, and people start to notice it, and they just, it doesn't even faze them anymore. But when you truly work to have something that is compatible and complementary, you know, people see the value in it. You don't need to do anything else at that point.
It's that whole concept of serving while strategically monetizing, right? It's got to come from that place of service first and foremost, or it won't necessarily work. Mark Joyner was really one of the very first companies I ever saw using integration marketing. Years and years ago, in the late 90s, Mark had created a piece of software called Roybot. It was one of the very first tools for doing ad tracking online. And it was the only product he had to sell. He didn't have anything else that he could use to make money from. So he went out and found people that have ideal customers. So affiliate marketers are one example, but there are many. All those companies that would need to have ad trackers to use with their stuff online. And he found ways to offer a trial of his software, Roybot, on their thank you pages. He also found ways of integrating their offers on his thank you pages and within other strategic locations of the Roybot software. So when you would set up your links for tracking, you would have a category, and based on the category that link was in, it would show you a different ad on the side as you were in there setting up your redirect links. What a clever thing to have done. And it's what took him from being a six-figure business to being an eight-figure business without ever having a second product to sell.
Wow.
Very, very strategic. And oh, so duplicatable for any business. It's a big part of why I like working what you call boutique businesses in the first place. This kind of a joint venture is way bigger when you work with boutique businesses than when you work with just a B2B company or an internet marketing company, because there are only a handful of other companies that you really can go to that have enough synergy with what you offer to really make it something that would serve your customers. And I've done this before where there's maybe a dozen companies that all serve that same kind of client. And you can pull all dozen of them together and get them all doing integration marketing with one another. And it's as if you create this closed system where someone doing business with anyone in that whole space is likely to do business with everybody in the space by the time you're done, all using integration marketing, nobody ever having to send out an email promoting any of their JV partners. That's powerful. That's what paid off my $40,000 a month worth of medication, honestly, was those kinds of JVs, because back then I didn't have anything to sell. I just organized joint ventures for everybody else.
I love it.
I'm also noticing that on your blog, you've got some great articles about things like time management. Let's talk a little bit about time management and the entrepreneur.
Yes, so that was a series we did, and it kind of just came to me, and I wrote it all kind of at one time. And what we did was we noticed that there's so much talk right now about managing your time effectively, and obviously what works for me isn't going to work for you, isn't going to work for the next person. But I thought, as an entrepreneur specifically, there are certain things we can use, there are certain methods of doing things we can adopt that are really not huge mind shifts for us, but are things that we can kind of integrate into our day and have more time to do the stuff that we enjoy doing with our business and have more time for things like our family or our hobbies. And so we wrote the series to teach people to look at things differently, like look at Google Drive and Google Calendar differently. I'm guilty of this as well. We kind of use something and then we think, okay, this is the way to use this thing. This is the way to use Google Calendar. I put my appointments in it. or this is how I use Google Drive. I store documents in it. But when we start kind of looking at different ways to use this same stuff, we can find some time in our day.
That's awesome. So can you give us an example of what that looks like?
Yes, the one that I did in one of those blog posts was using Google Calendar, Google Drive, and Asana kind of in conjunction with each other. But the basic idea was something I noticed with a lot of my clients is they would, everything was kind of reactionary. Oh, we need to figure out something else to sell. Oh, we need to sell another product. We need to figure out what that product is. And I said, you know, if we sat down and just made a spreadsheet in Google Drive that we could both have access to and started listing out projects or project ideas, we could kind of have a running tally, a running log of marketing ideas for the business. And so that was kind of something we started using Google Drive for. And then what fed off of that kind of big picture was then breaking those projects down into smaller pieces within the same spreadsheet, but on a different tab. You just pull, you know, three per week, three tasks from those bigger projects, and now you have three things, up to three things that you can focus on that are moving your business forward. They're not the day-to-day tasks. They're not the fires that need to be put out. And then you just pull those over.
Did we just lose you? Are you still there, Tiffany?
I am here. Can you hear me?
Oh, now I can. I heard you just pull those, and that was it. It went dead for a few minutes.
So yeah, once you kind of pull some tasks from those big projects in your Google spreadsheet, you've got up to three that you are working on each week to move your business forward, and you just pull those into your project management software, into Asana, whatever you're using, and assign them to team members, and then you are, you know, I don't want to say slowly because it's not slowly. Anything we do in business is for a purpose, but you're purposely moving your business forward instead of just dealing with the day-to-day tasks or putting fires out that come up. You're taking that time to move the business forward the way you want it to.
Oh, how cool is that? And for all of you who want to hear that again in more detail, just go to thevaboutique.com, click on blog, and there's a three-part series of articles there. One is Time Management and the Entrepreneur Automate It All. Time Management and the Entrepreneur, give them an inch, they'll take a mile. And the other is Manage the Pants Off Your Team. I imagine it's in the last one or the first one.
I'm sorry?
I imagine that the example you just gave us is either from the first article or the last one, right?
Yes, it's kind of...
Oh, it is. It's in the Automate It All.
Yeah,
I see it. Let me get away from the barking dog real quick. Can't even figure out what the heck he could be barking at. There's nothing out here to bark at, silly baby. So what's next for you and the VA Boutique?
I think we're really going to focus on the labs. You know, I've got the two that we're working on right now, but I really think that's something we can build on and kind of give people those bite-sized pieces of training that they need to get things done in their business without having to invest in a, you know, 6-month program or invest in a year-long mastermind, which, you know, again, those have their place. But I really like this idea of focusing on these really short, punchy, information-packed sessions that really help people do the nitty-gritty things that nobody really wants to do, you know?
Yes. That makes a lot of sense to me. And how long does it take someone to go through a lab?
The Asana Lab, the business management one, is 8 weeks long, and that includes a week of bonuses where I kind of pulled in little pieces, like a bit more on team management. And so I think going forward, they'll probably range from 6 to 8 weeks, depending on the content of each lab. And so that's really, relatively speaking, a short amount of time.
It really is. And are they done live or are they recorded?
They are, it's kind of a hybrid how I've done these because, again, I don't like doing stuff the way everyone else does it. And so we've invested in a learning management system, kind of what lots of colleges and schools use to deliver information to students. And so it's a whole little member site where each week they're delivered a new lesson, and sometimes it may be a recorded video. Sometimes it may be some live content. It's kind of a mixture of everything, so I can kind of touch on what each person likes, how they like to learn.
That's awesome. Can I ask what system you're using to do that?
Yes, it is called Edu 2.0, EDU 2.0.
And do you like it?
I love it. It takes a bit of time to set it up, but it's been fantastic. I absolutely love it, and the feedback I've gotten so far has been, you know, this is so fresh and so different from the, at least in the world that I'm working in, the whole here's a Facebook group and here's a password-protected page.
Oh, gosh, that's horrible. We just switched in June to using a new platform to deliver our courses at DU. And it works along with WordPress, and that's a big deal for us because we want our websites to all be built on WordPress. There's so many benefits to doing that. But within WordPress, we use something called WP Courseware to create each and every course within DU. And what's really neat about it is the way that we deliver our courses in a live setting, when we create them in the first place, it's always in front of a live audience. We do it as a series of modules within a course. Well, WP Courseware breaks your course into modules and within modules, units. So the individual lessons that would get delivered each week are the units, and they're chunked together into modules or topics. And, man, the delivery system is so elegant. WP Courseware gives you a little piece of short code that you can put in a sidebar, on a page, on a post, anywhere on a WordPress website to deliver the entire course content wherever you want it to be. And it has really elevated the feeling and the elegance of delivery of courses on DU big time.
Exactly, and that's kind of the same principle of what we're using. It's really phenomenal. I think it's such a great way to offer the information.
Couldn't agree more. And just as a reminder for everyone, you can find Tiffany and the labs and all that she offers on www.thevaboutique.com. We've got about 60 seconds, Tiffany. Any final advice for our listeners?
Let's see. If I had to give some final parting words, I think I'd have to say for everyone to remember to breathe and to just kind of think through things. And what I mean by that is I know I do this a lot. I see it in my clients. We kind of get wrapped up in stuff and, oh, shoot, this just went wrong. Oh, shoot, this client is upset now. I have to fix this. And we get so wrapped up in making the business run that we don't take the time to realize that while we obviously can draw help from other people, none of us can do this all on our own. We do have a very gut instinct that helps us make these decisions and move our business along. And I think if we all just kind of stepped back and realized that a lot of the answers we need, we have within ourselves, and we know what it is we want to change in the world, and just tune into that, I think it would just be so much easier for all of us.
That is great advice. Well, thank you so much, Tiffany, for all that you shared today. Fantastic advice for our listeners. And Linda and I will be back next week, same time, same place, for another episode of Breakthrough Directions here on Blog Talk Radio. Have a great week, everybody. And if I can do anything else to help you and your people, Tiffany, please just let me know.
Thanks so much for having me.
Bye, everybody.
Join us Tuesday at noon Eastern for the next episode of Breakthrough Directions, from relationship marketing to business success.